Ladies and gentlemen, we are sad to announce at the start of this show the passing of former Hanshin Tigers outfielder Shintaro Yokota, who died at the age of 28 on July the 18th of brain tumors. He was a very beloved member of the team. He was a fan favorite and a wonderful human being, and we're all going to miss him. So we just want to take a moment of silence thinking of Shintaro Yokota, his family, and his loved ones. We're back with a fresh episode just for you, fellow Hanshin Tigers fan. Welcome to episode 180 of the podcast of Hanshin Tigers English News on this blazing hot Tuesday, August the 1st here in Nishinomiya, Japan. I'm the founder of H10 T-Ray, and joining me from Hawaii, as always, is Sanjay. Aloha, brada.
Aloha, brada, T-Ray. It's still July here, but it's pretty hot nonetheless, and glad to be here. Rest in peace, Shintaro Yokota.
Indeed. Haven't stopped thinking about him. And, you know, I think that it's going to continue for some time. It's just a shock. I know that he fought really hard towards the end. I think he went into remission twice and it came back twice. And the third time it overtook him. So we're saddened by that. And the show must go on as far as, well, not only our podcast, but the 2023 season for the Tigers. But I think the team also is going to be thinking of Yokota every day. And, you know, let's win it for Yokota this year.
Let's do it.
Well, on today's show, we are actually going to jump into August. And alongside our brothers, the Hanshin Tigers, we're actually going to go on a nice long road trip here, see what's ahead for the month of August for our team as they vacate Koshien Stadium like they do every year. But we're also going to compare it to years past and how they did it back then compared to how they do it now. So, Sanjay, are you ready to give the fans their required dosage of the HT dope?
You better believe it, T-Ray.
It's time to hit it with some rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
So we're going to jump on with the injury report right away. And the first one that we need to report on is our dear leadoff man, Koji Chikamoto, who came back from the broken ribs, the cracked ribs, on July the 22nd. Actually, it took him a few days to get going, but we'll get to that in the recaps. He is back in full stride, though, hitting the ball, stealing the bases, and leading the team to victory. So we are so glad to have him back in the lineup.
I have to say, I'm impressed he came back as quickly as he did.
Yeah, they were saying it could be a month, maybe more, and it was 20 days from start to finish.
Yep.
So not too bad. I think he missed 11 games. On to some bad news, though. Our closer for this year, at the start of the year, Yuasa, had a forearm injury, but he was starting to make a comeback, and it was looking really promising. The 23rd, 26th, 29th, and the 30th, he threw on the farm, and those 29th and 30th were supposed to be the final test, right? If he can pitch 2 days in a row, he's good to go, and he said he was feeling great, but then I don't know why he said that, because apparently he really injured his left oblique, and it looks like he could be gone possibly for the rest of the season.
That's what I saw as well. At least Okada's saying he's not really expecting him back.
Right.
But he'd be happy to have him back.
Exactly. And, you know, Yuasa has said, I'm not giving up on the season. I'm going to try to get back, you know, as long as it's possible. I haven't given up on making the comeback. So hoping he'll be able to come back. I mean, we look at how our bullpen has done, and you can never have too many arms. You can never have too many quality arms, but we do have quite a few quality arms, and Iwazaki has been getting her done.
Yeah, Iwazaki is actually quite studly.
Yes. So we still wish Yuasa a speedy recovery, because it never feels good to have a guy that good unavailable to the team. Another guy that is going to be away, at least just for a short time, I think he went on they still have this special deactivation list, right? Where you can go down for less than 10 days.
Yeah.
And so Otake went down with a fever, I think it was. And that would have been on, I think it was the 30th. So a couple days back. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be skipping a start. We'll get to that when we do some predictions. But yeah, he will hopefully, I would imagine, he might miss one start and then he'll be back in the rotation.
That's what it sounds like.
Right. So call-ups and send-downs. As we mentioned, Chikamoto came up on the 22nd. So did Aoyagi. And being sent down to make room for them, Kumagai on the 20th, and Ishii, who got sick, went down on the 22nd. Kajiya came up on the 23rd. Miyases went down that same date. Otake came up for one start. Obviously, he's back down. Oyokawa and Kirishiki swapped spots on the 26th. And Saiki and Kobayashi. So Saiki went down. Kobayashi came up on the 28th. Although, if I'm not mistaken, Kobayashi has not yet played, has he?
He has not yet played, but he was on, in the bench. But KK wasn't. So go figure.
Right. That was, I think, on the 30th. Yeah. On the last day.
Yeah. On the last day.
Right. That really about does it. But let's talk a little bit about our imports.
What was that? Did you hear something?
Coming in from around the world, foreign imports.
So the big news, I think we talked about this last time, but BK is gone. His contract has been annulled. He's no longer a member of the Hanshin Tigers. And I haven't seen any Instagram updates, but I would assume that he's maybe no longer even in Japan.
I think you may be right.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is they're probably clearing his apartment to make room for Colton Brewer. I don't know if we're going to call him CB just to go with the initial game or not, but apparently he's arriving in early August. And well, for me, today is early August. So I would assume sometime, maybe by the 6th, but we haven't been given a clear date, but he should be here fairly soon. And my guess would be, it really depends how he looks in bullpens and stuff, but I would assume they might bring him in at the end of the long road trip, or maybe for when they come back to Koshi, and he might make it to the top squad. Other guys. So as we said, Miyases got farmed, but then even after he got farmed, he hurt his left ankle. So that was on the 29th, according to reports. So he's not even playing down there right now. And then Bees apparently will be getting back into the top squad rotation. I think they said August the 3rd. So that would be the third game of the set against the Dragons at Vanta.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yep. That's in place, I guess, of Psyche.
Right. But I also read, and we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but that's fine. Okada apparently is at least going to start this long road trip with a 9-man rotation. I read that somewhere. And so I'm assuming, right, Otake is out right now, Saiki is out right now, and maybe Nishi the Yuki is that third guy that's not in the rotation that will be. I'm not sure. But that would give us 9 arms.
That's right. I think you're right there.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they do things, but I think given how some of our pitchers have done lately, it hasn't been terrible, but they are starting to show signs of fatigue. So it never hurts to give them some extra rest.
Yeah, and I think that Okada is doing this brilliantly. I know this is not the Okada corner, but he is looking at the long game and making sure that he's not shortchanging anybody in the near term at the expense of the future performance.
So we're going to see how that plays out. Obviously, we are going to make some predictions later. And then the next time that we recap, we'll be able to tell you if that was a brilliant plan or not. But it looks good on paper and it sounded good when we heard it.
Yeah.
One last import news, and that would be a former import, Aaron Wilkerson, Wilk, who was with the team last year. Apparently, he has signed a deal with the Lotte Giants of KBO. So he is Korea-bound, and wishing him all the best out that way.
Yeah, it's the OK Giants. We can wish him the best.
Yes, we're all right with cheering for him and them. All right. Let's move on. We're actually going to skip the farm this time for a change. Not too much new on the farm. They're doing all right. And there was a fresh all-star game, but we're not going to bother with that corner. We're just going to move into Ju-Yong.
Ju-Shi.
Ju-Ich. Ju-Ich.
Checking in with Fujinami.
Ju-Ich.
Checking in with Fujinami.
There you go. So our boy Fuji, the last time we talked, he was a member of the Oakland A's. And the day that we recorded, if I'm not mistaken, he had a final appearance there against the Red Sox, a clean inning. He dedicated that one to Yokota, correct?
That's correct.
Wrote his name in the dirt?
In the dirt and on the mound behind the plate.
Right.
He actually wanted to wear like a black band or something. But he was told by Major League Baseball that that would be a violation of team rules or Major League rules. So he had to settle for doing what he could.
Right. And it wasn't that that caused the trade that happened later that day or the next day, but he did get traded. He went from worst to first, literally worst in the AL to best in the AL. He is now a member of the Baltimore Orioles. They sound so close in my English. Okay. Anyhow, so Fuji has continued to do what he does best. I mean, the first game, I think the very first batter, maybe even the first pitch, was a home run. Yep. But after that, he settled in. The next day, this is also against the Rays, he had a bit of a rough outing, but then his last three have been quite strong. He's gone 4 2/3 innings, allowing one hit, two walks, and striking out seven in his last
three. And he's been dominant on the mound. I mean, he looks like he's enjoying it, and he's dynamic on the mound, and he's thrown, 102 miles an hour and looking awesome.
I think it feels good to be on a team that is as powerful as the Orioles are. They picked up the W again today. He didn't get an appearance. But so now on the season, Fuji's ERA is down to 8.08, 1.6 whip, and he has got 60 strikeouts in 55 2/3 innings. So he's making strides big time. Truth be told, Sanjay, I don't think by the end of the year he can get his ERA below 6, just because, as the innings pile up, the amount that you can decrease that ERA becomes, smaller and smaller. Sure. So I think he can get it down to the 6s, but I don't think he can get it into the 5s.
That's okay. Just like cut off his season from when he had his good first good outings, and his numbers are plenty impressive enough.
Well, I think, if he keeps playing the way that he does now, he is definitely going to earn himself a contract. If not with the O's, it'll be somewhere.
Yeah, agreed.
Wishing him all the best. All right, let's do some shout outs to our patrons before we move into recapping the action. And we are going to go in reverse order this time. I'm going to start with Yana in Osaka/Helsinki, Fran in the UK, Sean in Manchester, Jay in Minnesota, Rick Silvers in Texas, Ian Hadle in Texas, Blaine in Texas. Represent Shane Barclay of Japan Ball in California, Mario somewhere in the USA, the Tokyo Swallows podcast, JD out in Kyoto, Tom Zilla in Osaka, Joe in Wakayama, Anita just east of me in Nishinomiya, and then heading a little bit west, Jamie Owens of Central English in Okayama.
Thank you, patrons.
So Sanjay, the last time that we talked and we did some predicting, I think you said we need to go at least 5-3 in this stretch. And I said, agreed, 6-2 would be better. The team met us right in the middle, 5-2-1.
I'll take it.
We take it. Yes. So let's get to the action here real quick. The 22nd, we played two games in Tokyo against the Swallows, the first of which we lost 6-3. Aoyagi on the mound did not look great. The Tigers tried to make a comeback in the 7th with 3 runs, but they lost 6-3. They did have a bases-loaded one-out situation in the top of the 9th, but could not capitalize. So a rough start heading off of the All-Star break, but we get them back the next game. 4-2 win with Ito on the mound. He gave up a run in the bottom of the first, but the Tigers tied it in the top of the third and took the lead in the top of the 7th. And that was on a Morishita hit, an Umeno fluke bunt single. It was like he was approaching the, he hit one onto the green and it landed and did some backspinning. I don't know if you saw the bunt that he laid down.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And Kinami followed that up with another bunt because that's what we do. So now with the runners on second and third, Watanabe hits a G3. It's an RBI. Thanks to a bobble by Osuna. Apparently, if he had fielded it cleanly, it could have been an out at home. And so he didn't get charged for the error because he did get the force out. But nevertheless, we added an insurance run in the top of the 8th on a... How did it work here? Or we added 2 insurance runs, maybe? Yeah, it was 2. Nakano single and a stolen base. Noisy with a walk. Sato with a double and Morishita with a sack fly. And then we gave up a run in the bottom of the 8th to make it 4-2. So we tie that series and we come back home for the Urutora no Natsu, Ultra Summer, or
Ultora,
Ul Tiger.
Yes, summer. There you go. Yeah. Ultimate
the,
Ul Tiger.
The Tora in there. So, anyhow, 3 against the Giants, 3 against the Carp. Giants having a kind of middling season. You know, they look good for a five-game stretch. They look horrible for a five-game stretch. And we kind of caught them maybe making their transition. So we won the first two. We beat them 4-2 at the game I was at on Tuesday night. Sato with an RBI double in the bottom of the first. Okamoto tied it in the top of the fourth with a solo home run. Akihiro gave them the lead in the top of the fifth with an RBI double. Junior was replaced after five innings, and he was to be the losing pitcher on record. However, bottom of the sixth, Morishita with a single, Oyama with a two-run home run. So we got the lead off of my favorite pitcher to beat. That would be Tommy Smug, right? Lugano. And Logano. Then bottom of the seventh, we get the insurance run with an Oyama RBI single.
And this was the Yokota Memorial game.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, the team played well. I know that Okada planned to use Iwasada and Iwazaki in the game regardless of game situation because they were fellow draftees the same year as Yokota. Yep. Right. So that year, just to remind everyone, it was Iwasada, Yokota. Third round pick was that guy, Yokawa. And then Yokawa. It was Umeno. And then it was a guy named Yamamoto who didn't last long. And then it was Iwazaki. So it was a good draft class. Anyways, and then when Oyama hit his home run, he kind of raised his helmet up to the skies to kind of say, this one is for you, buddy. They didn't actually overlap very much, but they did live in the dorm together for a while, I believe, the two of them.
Yeah, and Oyama said that... Yokota always like came up to him and like, you know, Oyama senpai, you know, and he's like a cute little brother.
Right. Yeah. So one good deed fall deserves another. And the Tigers win game two of this one, 8-5. They bopped the Giants. Noisy with the two-run double in the bottom of the second. He scored on an E4. Otake, though, in the top of the sixth, gave up five runs. He gave up a bunch of hits. He walked a guy. He hit a batsman and he got pulled way too late. It looked like this might be a lost cause, but Haraguchi with an RBI single in the bottom of the sixth, Sato with an RBI single in the bottom of the seventh, which was followed by a Sakamoto sac fly. That was the go-ahead run. And then Obata with a two-run triple. So there you go. It was a great game.
So I do want to give props to our defense, particularly in this game. In the first inning, first of all, there was a screamer down the left field line that our man Sheldon Noisy got to in a hurry and limited it to a single instead of a double. And throughout the series, really, my man Nakano, number 51, with his jersey behind me right now, he's been playing spectacular defense. We're talking he has to have the Golden Glove Award this year. And countless double plays between him and Kinami. I mean, bring it on. We are playing some serious D out there.
Yeah, you know, we look at the error numbers and the Tigers are getting close to finding their comfortable place in first place with the most errors, but there's still a difference in the way they're playing on defense. I mean, I honestly think this is a good Tigers defense, turning almost every double play that's possible, whereas in years past, they couldn't. So, and just making really good plays, making some really nice plays, and making some really routine plays that they weren't making before as well. So I think all's well.
Okay, here.
Let's finish this. And as I said, we kind of caught the Giants as they were making a transition because they beat us on Thursday and then they actually swept their weekend series. So they're on a 4-game win streak, if I'm not mistaken. We lost 9-6, actually. Psyche was not sharp. He allowed 7 runs, only 3 of them earned in 4 2/3 innings. And that's maybe the reason he got farmed. The Tigers actually tied it in the bottom of the fourth on an Oyama solo home run. And we did score 3 runs in the bottom of the seventh. So it was looking like we could maybe make a comeback, but then we gave one up in the top of the eighth. And then Sato with a solo home run in the bottom of the eighth. So it was kind of a back and forth affair, but we just gave up way too many runs early. The error by Kinami, I believe it was. It was kind of a routine. Yeah. It was a deep fly ball for the shortstop, but he should have caught it.
He totally should have caught it. And ever since then, you know, it's not fair to Kinami, but I cringe every time a pop-up goes to the shortstop. And he snaps his glove when he catches these days. I'm like, don't do that. Just catch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, that might be part of the reason that Obata has gotten a couple of starts lately as well, or at least one start. Anyhow, we take 2 out of 3 against the Giants, and we move into the weekend series against the Carp. The Carp, by the way, are on a 10-game winning streak heading into this one. They just swept the Swallows, and they actually took over first place on the 27th when we lost and they won. So this is a really important series for us to get back to the top of the standings. And that's what we did. We beat them 7-2 on Friday night. Chikamoto with a hit, stolen base. Morishita with an RBI single in the bottom of the first. Murakami coughed up two in the top of the third. But Chika reached on an error from their shortstop. Nakano walked, and Morishita with a single plus an E9. Who was it? I forget who it was. Their right fielder, Noma, I think it was, charged and blew it. And everybody scored except Morishita, who made it to third. Walks and hits, including a Chikamoto bases loaded walk and Nakano RBI single and a Morishita 2 RBI single in the bottom of the seventh to seal this one 7-2. Obviously, Morishita was a huge day. I think he had 4 hits, 3 RBIs.
Yeah, that was his career day.
Yep. But, I mean, he's just coming through left, right, and center. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's move on to Saturday, though. What's that?
20-year-old as well, right? He's just a kid.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he looks like he's still 12, though. Baby face. Okay, Saturday. This one we got, this is the Patreon viewing party, by the way. Oyama with a sac fly in the bottom of the first to open the scoring. Kozono with an RBI single in the top of the third. Sato with a solo home run in the bottom of the sixth. And it looks like we could be getting the W here. It was Aoyagi on the mound, and he pitched quite well. It was 7 innings pitched, 1 run against. But was it Kajiya who put a runner on base and got replaced by Iwasada? And the first pitch he threw was an RBI double to Kozono, which tied the game. Fortunately, we kept it tied, and the teams duked it out for 4 more innings, and nothing was settled. So it's a 2-2 tie. The teams remain tied at the top of the standings, and by mere percentage points, the Tigers are on top. But we want to make this a clean first place for us. So Sunday, that's what we do. We win 4-2 thanks to the following. Bottom of the third, Nakano with an RBI, ground out to second. Top of the sixth, they tied it. Bottom of the sixth, Morishita with a clutch 2-run home run. And also, right after 2 batters later, Sato hit an RBI triple. He hit a triple, and then Noisy got a kind of lucky infield single to bring him home. So it's 4-1, and then they got an unearned run in the top of the eighth. But we got the series win. 2.5 out of 3 against them. We're a game up on the Carp right now.
So I have to say that I'm really surprised that the Carp are up where they are. Props to Mr. RI. But I'm glad that we're on top.
Yeah, I mean, the only person I can think of that predicted them to do well this year was Satozaki, the former Marines catcher who predicted that they would win the Central League. And everyone else thought he was crazy. You never know. There's still lots of season, you know. Sure. They could hang on and stay around the top, but they could also fall off the table. You know, 10-game win streaks are, I wouldn't say they're common. They certainly aren't common, but
they're rare.
You know, like Rami-chan has always said, you know, after long win streaks, sometimes come long losing streaks, or after long losing streaks, sometimes you get on a real roll. You know, the Carp are a good team, but I don't think they're championship level just yet. At the same time, you know, you look at other teams that have these crazy losing streaks, and it's like, well, like the Fighters and the Hawks, right? In the Pacific, the Hawks lost 12 straight. They're not that bad of a team. And the Fighters are actually, well, I thought they might have an outside chance at the playoffs this year. It looks like that ain't going to happen, but I mean, they've got so much talent. They're going to get there real soon.
They will get there.
So yeah, I don't put a ton into this to say, look, well, the Carp are in first. Yeah, but you know, just as easy as they won 10 straight, they might go 10-20 in their next 30 games, which is the equivalent of a 10-game losing streak, right?
Yep.
Kind of. So yeah, I'm not putting a ton of weight into their position in the standings right now. All right, let's make the transition and name us some players of the month since we're flipping the calendar right now.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall, hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your player of the month.
Well, the month of July, you know, it didn't seem like it was going to be a very good month for us. It felt like we were losing more than we were winning. But the tail of the tape says we went 11-8-2 on the month. And if you can go 3 games above 500 for each of the next 2 months, like for August and September, you know, we're going to be sitting, I think it's 19 or 20 games over 500.
Yeah, I won't complain about that.
that could put us right in the Are zone. So I'm okay with that. Okay. Anyhow, let's look at the hitters first, because they kind of didn't really do a great job, in my opinion. The team average for the month was 229, which I think is their worst hitting month so far. 11 home runs for the whole team, 64 RBI, and 7 stolen bases. Who you got for your best hitter?
Well, so I'm going, and you know, I wanted to explain my choice a little bit as well, because I went with my man, number 51, that I got my jersey for, Takumu Nakano, who hit 310 for the month of July. He didn't exactly wow us with his on-base percentage of 362 or his slugging percentage of 356. So his OPS is 718. But man, his defense, if you're talking about a fielder, then his defense has to count for something. And Nakano had an all-star defensive effort for the month. So he's got my man. He's got my vote.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. Having watched, well, most of the games, I mean, there are so many times that he just made outstanding plays, whether it was in shallow right field or towards the second base bag or towards first base or you name it. I mean, he was everywhere that you wanted him to be.
Yeah. Follow T-Ray or H10 on Twitter, because he's reposting or retweeting all of those great plays.
I try. When I find video footage, I try to retweet it, because I want everyone to be able to see it, just in case you're not following the people that I am. Okay, well, for my hitter, I'm actually going to go with somebody that only got the job partway through the month. And if you look at his batting average, it's not that great, but we'll talk about some of the details here. So I got number one, Shota Morishita, as my hitter of the month, batting 254 in the month, which is above team average, and brought his average above 200, which it hadn't been all year. 316 on base percentage and a 463 slugging percentage. He had 7 extra base hits, including 3 of the team's 11 home runs on the month, 15 RBI, which was easily top on the team. And that's roughly, what, 1/4 of our RBIs.
Yep.
Roughly. And he was on the Heroes podium 4 times. And when you consider,
talk about Mr. Clutch, yeah.
For road games, you can only have one guy up there. And home games, you can have more. But he, yeah, I mean, he's got 3 home runs on the year. All 3 of them came this month. Or last month, I guess. They all counted, right? He had the go-ahead home run in the bottom of the 8th to make it a 1-0 game. I forget who it was against. He had the game-tying home run against T-Bow and the Bay Stars. And then in this recap, I mentioned the bottom of the 6th, he hit a 2-run home run that gave us a lead, and we ended up winning that game as well. So he's hitting them when they count. And he seems to have that gene, man, the clutch gene.
He does. Certainly does. Love him.
Because he also had like the walk-off sack fly in that game where he hit the home run against T-Bow. He also had a walk-off hit against the Carp earlier in the season. So, you know, with the game on the line, he's found a way to get it done.
He's the one you want up. And in fact, I thought he was going to have another sayonara home run the other day against the Carp, I think.
Saturday, yeah, because he came up twice actually with a walk-off chance. So, yeah, he isn't going to get it done every time necessarily. But what I've seen so far, I love. So I'm giving it to him. Okay, let's go on to the pitchers, and I think you can go first for this one as well.
All right, so this may be low-hanging fruit, but I'm going to give it to the Zach Attack, a.k.a. Iwazaki, because he came out of the pen and was just a stud. He appeared in 10 games, pitched 10 innings, so one inning each appearance. 1 win, 1 hold, 7 saves, 0.00 ERA. A whip of 0.6 and a batting average against of 0.067 with 13 Ks in 10 innings. I mean, the guy is just a god.
That's crazy. That's a great month. And it's unfortunate that NPB won't recognize that for pitcher of the month, because they tend to give it to starters unless there were no good starters and the closer has, well, numbers like Zach's or maybe even a bit better. But we'll see. I still like that choice. I'm going to actually cheat a little bit. I'm going to go back to June the 30th to start my counting numbers, which is unfair, but it's my show. So I'm going to Junya Nishi. Came back into the rotation and we needed him. So in 4 outings, again, including June the 30th, he's got 26 innings pitched, 25 hits, 5 walks, 13 strikeouts, and just 4 earned runs in those 26 innings for whatever kind of ERA that would be, it's roughly a 1.35.
Right. And you know what? We'll let you cheat one more time. He gets a start tonight, right?
Yes.
I'll let you count that tonight too, if he throws a good game.
And if he doesn't, then I'll say, well, August 1st doesn't count.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's time to get into the hot topic.
Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics.
So as we promised at the start of the show, we are going to talk about this long road trip that the Hanjin Tigers have. And as we know, it kind of got renamed around the year 2000, where they stopped calling it the Shinorodo, and it is now the Chokirodo. Choki, of course, just meaning long-term or lengthy. So it's a long road trip. As we know, Hanshin Koshien Stadium was built in 1924 with the main purpose of hosting the high school baseball tournament, the national tournament. It takes place in August every year, and the Hanshin Tigers only came about in 1935, meaning that the priority goes to the baseball boys. And so every August, Hanshin basically gets kicked out of the stadium for, well, a minimum of 2 weeks, but more like 3 or 4 weeks in modern days. And they have to go out on the road and play all their games in other stadiums that they are not familiar with or comfortable in. So I like the idea of renaming it in the year 2000 because times had changed quite a bit. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here. What we're going to do is we're going to look at what does the road ahead look like in 2023? Because technically it starts today, August the 1st. How are the players traveling? What types of places are they staying in? What is the schedule? Like, what would their schedule look like? How would they be able to survive these 3.5 weeks? 4 weeks that they won't be at Koshien. So Sanjay, since you did much of the research here, I'm going to let you do the talking.
For this year, we have a 23-game road trip over 27 days, 18 road games, 5 home games, 14 are dome games, of which 5 are in Osaka, and 9 are outdoors. The most games we play are 6 games each at Yokohama and Tokyo Dome. We also play 3 each at Vantolin and Mazda in Nagoya and Hiroshima, respectively. And again, 5 games at home, which is nice.
So we don't get any games at Jingu Stadium during this stretch, which is one of the outdoor parks, which That's is kind of right. nice. So like you said, the outdoor nice. Games, we got the 3 in Hiroshima and the 6 in Yokohama.
Yep.
And those are all night games.
Indeed, they are.
Right.
In fact, the whole trip is night games except for one. Well, there are a couple that start at 5 p.m., but in Yokohama and so on. But there's one at Tokyo Dome at 2 p.m., which is rare, and everything else is night games.
And so as the Japanese baseball schedule goes these days, there are no games on Monday, correct?
That's right.
So Monday's a day off no matter what, or a travel day, which I think they're going to need quite a bit during this stretch.
They are days off and also travel days. Mm-hmm. Including July 31st, right? Which was they traveled to Nagoya.
Yeah. So let's actually talk about that. For those that are maybe a bit less familiar with Japanese geography, the players generally are living in Nishinomiya or the surrounding area, but they would probably be riding the Shinkansen, the bullet train, I would guess out of Shin Kobe. I don't know if they'd go to Shin Osaka or Shin Kobe. I think Kobe.
I know that for this one, it was Shin Kobe for July 31.
Okay. Okay, so from Shin Kobe to Nagoya, roughly how arduous of a trip is this for them?
It's like an hour and a half on the train. It's a walk in the park.
My commute to work daily is longer than that, bro. Okay, man. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they get into Nagoya, and then they get 3 days playing at the dome. How far away is their hotel, and what type of hotel are they staying in when they're in Nagoya?
So
don't need names, but just roughly speaking.
Yeah, so in Nagoya, they're staying at a hotel that is 25 minutes from Vantolin Dome by bus, team bus, okay. They say.
Yep.
And I have to say that I think the Tigers might be the only Central League team that is using this hotel, and everybody else uses a different one, which is again, about the same distance or same commute time.
Yeah.
But I'm like wondering if we should just switch to the same hotel that the others use, because obviously this one, I won't say that name, but they have a village in Hawaii as well. And we're not doing so well.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Tigers need to change something up about what they're doing in Nagoya. Okay, so they get to Nagoya and they're going to play three games, and then they go straight to Yokohama. And Yokohama. I'm guessing from Nagoya to Yokohama again is about an hour and a half, maybe,
hour
by
half,
Shinkansen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. It's not too bad. And they'll do that without, they don't get a dedicated travel day, but I would assume that Friday morning they're going to hop on. They'll probably get into Nagoya around, well, before lunch.
Yep.
Right? Or it'll get into Yokohama, I should say. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then they play three in Yokohama. And the third game is a night game, I think, is a 5 p.m. start.
Right.
On Sunday. They're probably not traveling back on Sunday night, right? They're probably staying the night, and then they'll travel on Monday because they get that day off anyways.
Yeah, they get the
and
day
where do
off,
they go?
And they're going to Tokyo. I mean, to Tokyo Dome. So that's not even a trip.
No,
that's like in their own backyard, man. They've spent enough time in Tokyo. It probably feels like home to them. As I mentioned to you before we started the show, Morishita was talking about how road trips actually are kind of soothing for him because he has more time to himself and he can dedicate it to baseball in terms of going to the weight rooms, you know, sleeping in, going to the weight room and getting warmed up and then going to the field a little bit later than normal. So I don't expect this to be a hardship at all. In fact, they're playing in air conditioning.
I would assume too, they're probably not taking the Shinkansen between Yokohama and Tokyo. I don't even think it's worth it. They could probably just bus that in a pretty
good time. It, yeah.
And then from my understanding, they're staying at the Tokyo Dome Hotel, which is, I think they take like a 5-minute walk in an underground tunnel from the ballpark to their hotel.
Yeah, that I don't know, but they said it's a 1-minute drive in the team bus. So either okay. way, it's not much.
But I think like, I was talking to Dolis or somebody back in the day, and I think he said that they actually walk it and they don't have like a dedicated locker room at the ballpark. So they actually walk in their uniforms to their hotel. I know they do that in Hiroshima as well. They do that in
Yakult too. They do it everywhere in Japan.
Right. The hotel room becomes their changing room. Yeah, except for Akoshien. All right, so they play the three in Tokyo, and that would be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then now they've got to travel all the way back to Osaka. Oh, wow, 3 hours, right? So that would be a Friday morning. They'd get 3 hours, and they would be playing at Kyocera. I would assume they probably don't go home in between their Shinkansen and the game.
Probably not. In fact, they probably go into Osaka, Shin Osaka Station, which is probably 2.5 hours, in fact, from Tokyo if they take the Nozomi.
Okay.
And go straight to the stadium. But after the game, they probably get to stay with their family for 3 nights.
Right. Which, as we've talked about, and as we can all imagine, that could be a blessing, but it could also be a little bit hard as well. You know, having spent almost 2 weeks away from home trying to, you know, get back into family life and having to deal with, for some of them might be babies that are waking up in the night or young kids that, you know, need daddy, but daddy wants to focus on, you know, practice, you know, coming up or whatever. But I'm sure it's got to feel good to be at home.
Agreed.
So they get the 3 days in Osaka at Kyocera, and then they get a travel day and they would go from Osaka out to Hiroshima, which I believe is an hour to Shin Kobe is an hour 15 or hour 10. So maybe to Shin Osaka is like an hour and a half.
Yeah. It depends on where they leave from. They might leave from Hiroshima and it'll be even a shorter trip. I mean, sorry, they might leave from Shin Kobe and be short
right.
trip. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So they play.
But they have a dedicated, they have a.
Yeah. Travel day.
Dedicated travel day.
Monday. Yep.
Monday. So they play three games from the next day. So that's also kind of relaxed.
Right. This then becomes the toughest part of their schedule because they play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Hiroshima. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday would be in Yokohama. So that's a little bit of a trek. Doing the math, that's maybe what, 4 hours?
Yeah. Something like that.
So that's a little longest, bit.
That's the longest that they have to travel.
Right. And wait till we get to what, you know, trips of the past, let alone, I mean, if we were talking about MLB where it's significantly longer. But anyhow, so 4 hours is their trying journey here. They play three in Yokohama. And then the schedule gets a little bit lighter, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So they get their travel day on the 21st to travel from Yokohama to Osaka or to Kobe, whichever one they do. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they actually only play two games
They only play two games because of the travel day. They get to stay at home for 3 nights, which, again, you say is might be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. But they get to stay with the family for 3 nights if they want.
Right. So they travel on Monday. They play Tuesday, Wednesday. They get Thursday off, or at least there's no game. They might practice, right?
Right.
And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're back in Tokyo at the Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the end of the road trip.
That's the end of the road trip.
And actually, when they come off the road trip, again, they get another two-game set. They're going to be hosting, I think it's the Bay Stars for two.
In Osaka. In Koshien.
At Koshien, yes. Yeah. Yes. So they kind of get to ease back in a little bit as far as that goes. So that's the long and short of the long road trip right there. How's that sound? That's you know, we're just talking about a 25-ish game stretch and the season is 143. And so this is kind of their life all season long, but maybe with a little bit less frequent traveling, right? Because they might have more 6-game homestands or whatever in there.
Yeah.
But essentially, this is what they're doing. They're always on the move.
Yeah. And to your point about comparing to Major League Baseball, it's worth pointing out that everything is the same time zone here in Japan, as opposed to the US, where you're dealing with potentially, you know, it's 3-hour time differentials.
Yep.
Coast to coast.
Right. East to west, west to east. They're doing it's wreaking havoc on the body and the mind for sure. So let's just kind of reemphasize again that they're staying in nice hotels. They've got their own bedrooms. They're air conditioned. They're playing how many out of how many in domes? They have 9 outdoor games, right? Out of 24?
Yep. So they're playing 14 out of 23 in domes.
Right. That's right. 14 out of 23. So not too shabby, not that hard on the body compared to Sanjay. Give me a year. What year do we want to compare this to? Let me just preface this by saying I've got in front of me a Hanshin Tigers encyclopedia that basically lays out the schedule for all of the Showa era. So basically from the start of the inception of the team in 1936 through 1988, I've got it all. It doesn't include a ton of detail, but it does have what the schedule was for every season. So give me a year.
Well, do you want me to give you the right answer or the wrong answer?
I don't care. So we were going to do 1963 to 2023 right, as the 60-year gap. Let's start with that. But then I'm also going to give you guys the 1955 so you can see how rigorous travel was at its worst for them. Okay. So let's look at 1963.
63. 60 years ago.
Yes. Okay, here we go. 1963, they played at Koshien until August the 1st. They had a doubleheader against the Giants that day, and they started out on the road on the 4th in Hiroshima. So they're going from, again, not Shin Kobe, because I don't think it existed as their departure station, but they would have been taking local trains. And I think the overnight train is what they took into Hiroshima.
I think you're right.
So, and apparently they were crowded trains. They were very hot and players would sleep in the aisles and sleep on top of each other or like whatever. It just was not comfortable at all
not
for
pleasant.
Them.
Not right? pleasant. Yeah.
So they get into Hiroshima and they play a 3-game set, which includes a doubleheader. And then from there, they had to travel all the way to Kawasaki, which is in Kanagawa.
Outside of Tokyo.
Right. And this would have been, of course, not by bullet train. They had one day off in between. Right. So I would assume that they would have left maybe the 6th or maybe the 5th. If it was a day game, they might have been able to get on an overnight train, but they're traveling all the way across. From what I hear, if I'm not mistaken, it was like 8 hours from like Kobe to Hiroshima. So I could be wrong. It was long, not that
much, but it was a long time. But then from Hiroshima to Kawasaki has got to be an overnight, like for sure.
Yeah, that might have been 8 hours then. Okay, so they get 3 at in Kawasaki, including again another doubleheader. They get a day off before they play at Korakuen, which is in Tokyo. That was the old ballpark for the Giants before Tokyo Dome came about. They also had a doubleheader there on the 11th, and then they played 4 more games in Tokyo. I'm not sure the name of the stadium. It might have been Jingu. They were playing against Kokutetsu, which is the modern day Swallows.
Yeah.
So again, they played 4 games though in 3 days. So they had a doubleheader in there as well. Then they got 2 days off. They went to Nagoya to face the Chunichi Dragons for two games, also a doubleheader, before they made it home to Koshien for games on the 21st. So they were away for a total of 20 days. But in that time, they played five doubleheaders.
You know, think about it. When you're taking like an all-night train and then you're playing a doubleheader, that's got to be brutal.
Yeah. And we also have to keep in mind that they were playing mostly day games. I don't have the starting times listed here, but I'm assuming that because night games didn't become a common thing right away, right? I think they were able to play under the lights to an extent at times, but I think the first Japan series played at night was 1964.
All right, that sounds about right.
Before that, it was all day games. And so I would assume that most of the games during the season would also been day games. So that's the 1963 schedule. Sorry, one more thing we should mention too is their accommodations. They weren't staying at luxurious hotels. They didn't have air conditioning. They did not have their own rooms. Apparently, they were just sandwiched in there like sardines in the ryokan, right? The Japanese-style inns.
Japanese inns, yeah.
Yeah. And so even guys like Gene Backe, I remember reading a couple of books and they said, you know, he didn't think anything of staying in the same places as us. Some of the other Western players would stay in, you know, in their own Western style hotels, but he would actually stay in the inns with us. So, and Backe was with the team, by the way, from 1962 to 1968. So that fits right in with the narrative that we are sharing with you here. But real quick, as I was doing my research, and you can find this on Patreon because I did a whole table of all of these road trips through the whole Showa era to compare them to the Reiwa era. And 1955 was a killer. And I don't understand. I might need to look into why this happened. But the team was away from Koshien for a total of, I think it was 57 games. 57 games
crazy.
In a row.
Crazy.
Yes. Yep. So they played at Koshien last on July the 10th, and that was a doubleheader. And I'm not going to go through game by game who they played or what they played, but this is how their schedule went. Osaka for five games, Tokyo for three games, Osaka for two games, Kobe for two games, Kawasaki for two, Mito, which is in Ibaraki Prefecture, kind of north of Tokyo, for a game, Maigo, I think, Yonego, I don't even know where that is, for two games, Osaka for two, Fukuyama for one, Kure for one, that's in Hiroshima Prefecture, Hiroshima City for one, Nagoya for two, Tokyo for three, Okayama for one, Hiroshima for two, Osaka for three, Nagoya for one, Kyoto for one, Kobe for one, Osaka for three, Tokyo for two, Osaka for three, Okayama, Kobe, Osaka, one apiece, Nagoya for four, Kure for another one, Hiroshima for two, Osaka for two, and Kyoto for one.
My head's spinning.
And then on October the 9th, they got back to Koshien.
That's nuts.
So from July 12th to October 7th at 8th, they were on the road.
That's 3 months. Crazy.
3 months. Now, you know, as you heard some of those names, you probably recognized some familiar names for the Kansai area. They did play in Kyoto, Osaka, and Kobe during that stretch. So they might have been able to get home, but they weren't playing in the home ballpark. So that's another topic for another show maybe, but I kind of want to look into why that was. Why did they have to play that long away from Koshien?
I don't know. I wasn't around in 1955, as old as I am.
Yeah. Well, neither was I. I was minus 20 at the time. So anyhow, the point of the show is just to say, look, we're actually not doing too bad with the road trip anymore. It's not that unthinkable or like, you know, crazy difficult. That said, though, I mean, in part of my research, too, I looked at the Reiwa era and 3 out of the 4 years that we've had this long road trip so far in Reiwa, we have had a losing record.
And the fourth one was not a winning record either.
Is that so?
10 and 10.
I was actually just looking it up because I forgot already.
Yeah.
It was a 500 record. That's right. In 2019. Yeah. That's the best we've done so far in Reiwa. So this is the year that we need to put it together and give ourselves a little bit more breathing room between us and the old Hiroshima Carp and even the Bay Stars.
Yep. You got it.
So if you want a little bit more information like what we've just given, again, Patreon might be the place to do it, because I do have a kind of nice chart that shows all of the seasons, how long we were away from Koshien, what our records were, how many different stops we had on those road trips. And I've even kind of highlighted which seasons we had a better record during the road trip than we did on the whole season, and which ones we had a worse record. So it's pretty interesting. You know, a lot of these Tiger Metrics corners that I do on Patreon, I do them for my own discovery, the purpose of me discovering new things as well. And that's what I did. That's what happened when I did this one. So I hope all the patrons enjoy it. And I hope those of you who are curious consider joining the Patreon family.
Yeah, that was a good one, by the way. I enjoyed reading it.
Thanks. Glad you enjoyed it. It just came out today, by the way. Okay, so let's get into some predictions right now.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going
to
happen?
Well, Sanjay and I have already kind of laid out the schedule for you, but I do have to say this to everybody out there. I'm actually not going to be doing another podcast for the rest of August. I'm taking the month off. I actually have plans to leave Japan. And as a result, I just wouldn't be able to do the show justice by, creating a show from halfway around the world, having not watched any of the action. So we're going to actually lay down for you again, the road trip, as well as the first games at Koshien. And we're going to make a prediction on these 25 games. It's Dragons, Bay Stars, and Giants on the road for 3 apiece. We come back home for the Swallows at Kyocera Dome for 3, off on the road for Carp and Bay Stars for 3 each, and then the Dragons for 2 at Kyocera, the Giants for 3 at Tokyo Dome, and then 2 at Koshien against the Bay Stars. And I'm hoping right around the start of September, we're going to be tuning in with another show for you then. So Sanjay, thoughts, predictions?
So you're saying 25 games, right? Including the long road trip.
Correct.
And I'm going to say
11 of them are outdoor. And so I would say, I mean, there might be a rainout in there, but looking back historically, like the last 4 years, we haven't had any August rainouts. So it could very well be that we play all 25. Okay, go for it.
So I'm going to probably go into more detail than you want to hear, but I think that we're going to go 13 and 10 on the road trip. And then, because that's 23 games, right? Mm-hmm. And split the other two. So we're going to be 14 and 11.
And what were we saying just like earlier in the show? Hey, if we can go 3 above 500 for each of the remaining 2 months, we'll be in good shape. And you've just predicted the 3 games above 500. I like it.
There you go.
And since I'm kind of drawing a blank, I'm just going to concur with you and say that's what's happening. 14 and 11. And the next time that we talk, the team will be what? 16 or 17 games above 500. Let's do it, Tigers. All right. That's a wrap for another episode of H10. Thank you for tuning in. And if you haven't gotten your fill of us, we're out there on the net, Patreon, the website, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Many of those will be kind of taking a bit of a break in August, but you can still find a ton of stuff. Hey, I would recommend to you that you actually go into the archives and dig into maybe some of the history stuff I've written about the Tigers during the month of August, because there's a lot of good stuff in there that can really get you educated on this wonderful team. So I'm actually going to maybe link that kind of page within the website in the show notes. And I want to give a special thanks to Infraction for the theme music and show for mixing the pod for us. Couldn't do it without you. And thank you, Sanjay. I couldn't do this show without you either.
Thank you, T-Ray, for having me. As always, it's loads of fun.
Indeed it is. And let's go, Hanshin Tigers.
Ganbare Hanshin Tigers. Are, are, are.
Are.